things that I tell you what say the same thing Elizabeth Taylor told her eighth husband, I won't keep you long. And I'd say she probably didn't. We're trying to do something this morning. We're going to try to turn up the volume on this lapel mic. And if it's too noisy, you tell me, because Brother Hall has a tendency to get a little loud. And my hearing is terrible anyway. And sometimes when I can't hear, you might be able to hear. So I don't want us to get it so loud. And it has been a little low on volume on some of the tapes. And we've known that. Just having a difficult time getting everything arranged the way we want to arrange. I'm strictly on lapel now, right? I'm not even on that at all. Good. That's pretty loud. I can hear myself. And if I can hear myself, I'm doing all right. I don't want to get it too loud now. I might want to drop it just a tad, Brother Robert. You're doing good on that now. That ought to bust right in on the computer and the tape and everything. I don't want our music and our preaching to be so loud that it's devastating. I've been in some places that it just almost shocked my ears to hear it. But I do want it to be loud enough that it's got a little zip to it and you can hear it well enough. And these monitor speakers, a lot of people don't understand what monitors are for. When people are singing in groups and together, they've got the pianist and those playing the instruments, they've got to hear what somebody is singing. And somebody is singing has got to hear the instruments to stay in time. And so that's what the monitor speakers are for. Well, it's good to be here this morning again. I appreciate our visitor. And I'm kind of an unusual type message for me, I guess, this morning. I want to try to preach. And I don't know, it probably won't get too high. I've got a good spirit in me this morning. I feel real good. And it wouldn't bother me if Jesus just descended in the clouds right now. Hallelujah. I'm ready to roll anytime He's ready. And I mean that. I'm longing to see Jesus come in the clouds, and I'm longing to hear the trumpet sound. Yeah. When that last trump sounds, the dead in Christ are going to get up out of the graves. And those of us that I trust will be alive and remaining will be caught up together with them to meet Jesus in the air. Amen. What a grand and a glorious thought. My stars, I'm telling you, that ought to make a dead Baptist shout. Yeah. That ought to stir us up. We need to get stirred up about Jesus. We just really do. Well, I'm going to ask you to turn in two places in your Bible this morning to John chapter number 1 and verse 35, and then to the book of 1 Peter chapter number 1. John's Gospel, chapter 1 and verse 35, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. When you find that place in your King James Bible, let's stand together. We'll read in John first, beginning in verse number 35. Again the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Boy, I wish everybody would follow him. Amen. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, What seek ye? They say unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master. Amen. Where dwellest thou? He saith unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. One of the two, which heard John speak and followed him, was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own son, his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, We have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now may reading in 1 Peter chapter number 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Now may the Lord add His blessing to that reading as we pray this morning. Our Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for the privilege of being in the house of God today. Lord, I thank You for the good Sunday school time. How my heart was stirred when I heard those children singing, Brother Wayne teaching the Word of God, and the ladies in the back, Lord, being exhorted from the Word of God, how that thrilled my soul and blessed my heart today to know that we're honoring You and doing the perfect will of God in our life, glorifying You in what we're doing. And I pray, Lord, You'd bless us now as we try to preach the Word of God. I need that special unction, Lord, today, and the grace that only can come from the hand of God. I pray the Holy Ghost today, Lord, would draw near to each heart and open our hearts that we might receive Thy Word. And then, Lord, that You might reveal the Lord Jesus in His power, grace, and glory to everyone here today. Help us to find our purpose in life and place in the church and to fulfill the responsibilities and obligations that You've laid upon us. Help us to be a blessing to one another, reach sinners with the gospel, and glorify Your wonderful name. Touch me, I pray, with power and unction. Let me preach this morning. And Father, we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to draw our thought this morning, actually, from two places. Verse number 42 in the text that I read says, He brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, He said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. And notice what Jesus says here, Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. And then in the book of 1 Peter chapter 1, one word, Peter. I want to try to preach for a little while today, maybe challenge the hearts of you men that are in here somewhat and anyone else that really wants to listen carefully. But I want to try to preach and exhort you a little while today on the thought, this thought, the man that Jesus called a rock. I think that is amazing when we examine the Word of God and realize that Jesus said about Himself, upon this rock I will build My church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And He identified Peter with Himself. Thou shalt no longer be called Simon, but thou shalt be called Cephas. Thou shalt be called a stone. Thou shalt be called a rock. You know, you look at Peter's life down through the Word of God and you wonder, how on earth can he be spoken of from the very lips of Christ as being a rock? But that's what Jesus designated him. Then make no bones about it. He didn't say you might be a rock. He said, thou shalt be called Cephas. In other words, Peter, I'm going to rename you and you are going to live up to that name. Now, I'm being honest with you. When I look through Peter's life, I find many flaws. I find times when Peter was boisterous, when he was impulsive, when he actually denied that he ever knew the Lord, and you would wonder, how on heaven's name can a man that is that wishy-washy in the Word of God actually be called a rock? And when the Lord named him that rock, church, He did not do it just to be blowing air. He assigned to Peter his place and responsibility in life and assigned to him the future of his spiritual walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You might be Simon now, but you are going to be a rock. It may take my work of grace upon you, Peter, but you are going to be a rock. May I say to you today, when the Spirit of God begins a work in a child of God, that work will be completed, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. For I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. And the work that He hath begun in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And you mark it down. Peter may have denied the Lord. Peter may have cut off a man's ear. Peter may have been boisterous at times. And Peter may have seemed arrogant at times. But mark her down that he was a rock in the eyes of God. Now I'm going to tell you, we need some men that are rocks. Hallelujah. We need some men that are stable. We need some men that are firm. We need some men that are unwavering, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, we're living in a generation when most men and most Baptists that I know are just like they're as unstable as water, ladies and gentlemen. They're like Reuben, unstable as water. There's no solid rock in them whatsoever. But I'm telling you, and we're living in an hour when you better learn to be a rock, because the gates of hell are pressing against the church, and the gates of hell are pressing against the people of God, and the gates of hell are pressing against your children and the young people of this church. And we better learn to be a rock that we might withstand, ladies and gentlemen, the onslaught of the world and the devil against the house of God. Be called a rock. Do not be called. And by the way, what a blessing it was that his own brother brought Peter to Christ. I wonder when was the last time we brought somebody to Christ and said, "There he is, Peter. We have found him." Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, and I believe old Andrew put a little zip in that. He said, "Guess what, Peter? We have found the Messiah. We have found the Messiah." Amen. I'm going to tell you, it's a blessing to bring somebody to Christ. Without a vision, the people perish. I'm telling you, if there's one thing Island Ford needs, it is a vision of reaching lost souls for the glory of God. Amen. Now I'm in favor of witnessing to them on the job, off the job. Door to door if we have to anyway. Pass out tracts, pass out Bibles, preach on the street, go to nursing homes. Hey, what's wrong with some of you men starting to go into some nursing homes? What's wrong with some of us preaching on the street corner? What's wrong with us passing out tracts? What's wrong with us trying to tell somebody about Christ? I'm telling you that Andrew brought his brother to Jesus. Amen and amen. Come on in the house now. Now, I don't know if I'm even going to use my... But in Scripture, any time that the Lord changed a person's name, it was always indicative of a drastic change of life or a future blessing or work or a character change and course of life for that individual. In other words, God, when He changed the name of Simon to Peter, He said it was because he had a character change, and it was because that God had a plan and a purpose for him in life, that he was going to fill out that purpose in life. Oh my, if we never get a hold of that. God did not save you, ladies and gentlemen, just to be doing something. God, when he saved you, he had something in mind when he reached down into the muck and mire of sin and lifted you out, when he took that hunk of clay and set you on the potter's wheel and began to work on you. God had something in mind, a vessel that was made for the master's use, and a purpose and a plan in your life. Amen. I was at Brother Stevie Goolsby called me Friday night and asked me if I'd come and hear him preach last night, and down in Fair Dealing. Never heard of the place, about a spot in the road. You ever go there, you'll understand why I never heard of it. But I went, and it was out of Benton a little ways. Brother Larry Logston, fine man. And while I was there, Cecil Goodman, you don't know Brother Goodman, I met him years ago. And his boy that pastors up near Draffinville, up and around Aurora, came into the meeting, we were talking, and he said, "Brother Hall, I remember you." He said, "I remember seeing you in a preacher's fellowship years ago at McHenry when Rudy Whitlow pastored at McHenry. And he said, I remember when you preach, you talk about a verse of Scripture or something and said something about turning eastward. I said, glory to God, that's my verse that brought me to Madisonville. Somebody said, Brother Hawk, you're off track. No, I'm not. I'm telling you, almost 18 years ago, ladies and gentlemen. In fact, 18 years ago, next Sunday, God brought me to Island Ford Baptist Church with a purpose and a plan in mind. And I have been in the absolute perfect will of God ever since I got here. Somebody say amen for Brother Hawk. Hallelujah. God's got a plan for you, not just preachers. God's got a plan and a purpose for you. And He said, Simon, you're no longer Simon, but you are Peter, a rock. Hallelujah to God. In other words, you're one that somebody else ought to depend upon. You're a person somebody else can lean on. You're a strong man, Peter, that can give strength to those that are weak. That can help those that are weary. That can feed those that are hungry. You're right, Peter, and I'm identifying you with me, Brother Peter. Now, I know the theologues have said everything they can say about the name Peter. They've said it's just a little pebble. But I'm going to tell you, if you look up the word Cephas and Peter and study it out fully, you will find that it is exactly what, and it's more than the stumbling stone in 1 Peter 2:28. Talks about a stumbling stone. Well, it's bigger than that. Now get a hold of this. It's not as big as the rock when Jesus said upon this rock. But He is a stone, ladies and gentlemen. He is a rock, ladies and gentlemen. I wonder if there's any men in here this morning that your boys can look at you and say, my daddy is a rock of Gibraltar. My daddy will not be moved from Christ. My daddy will not be moved from the Bible. My daddy will not be moved from serving God. Come all that you have started to say that bad word. Better not say that. Come the boogeyman's house or high water. I'm not going to be moved. I'm unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen. Anybody hearing anything? Yeah. Hallelujah. I ain't about to roll over and play dead. I ain't dead yet. Amen. Brother Steve told me my brain's dying. That was good news. God, at least I know I got one. Amen. Now, keep in mind it always means a change of character, change of life, or a future blessing or work, or a character change that will last throughout the life. The Lord changed His name. For instance, He changed Abram to Abraham. Said in Genesis 17, 4 and 5, as for me, that's the Lord talking, behold, my covenant is with thee, talking about Abram. And thou shalt be called a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name be any more called Abram, which means high father, but thou shalt be called Abraham, the father of many nations. For a father of many nations I made thee. Can you get a hold of that? Abraham didn't even have a child yet. Abraham's wife was barren, ladies and gentlemen. And God comes on the scene and said, you're not a high father. You're a father of many nations. I imagine Abraham scratching his head and said, my God, I don't even have a child and a family. And He's talking about nations. He's talking about entire countries. Can you get a hold of that? I'll tell you, He did become a father of the Jewish nation and also every Arab nation in the country in the world today. Came right out of the loins of Abraham and right out of the womb of Sarah, ladies and gentlemen. God said, you're going to be a father. Now, that's God. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm about to run my head through a wall. I'm telling you, when God can say that I have made thee and you ain't nothing yet. But I'm telling you, that's exactly what He done when He saved you. He said, I'll make you. And you said, I ain't nothing yet. But He said, in my hands, I'll make you what I want to make you. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Somebody say amen. Thanks be unto God. And what are you going to do about Sarah?
Right. The
Bible said her name was Sarai. But in that same chapter, Miss Sarah, where are you at? Homesick. God bless you, Sarah. Hope you're listening. Said in the 15th verse of that 17th chapter of Genesis, God said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yes, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings and people shall be of her. You realize that Jesus, the Lord said there twice that He would bless Sarah. He said, I'll bless her. And then He said, yes. It's almost like Abraham in his heart laughed and said, he don't realize she's barren. But the Lord said, yes, I will bless her. By the way, gentlemen, God can bless women too. Somebody say amen right there. I'm telling you, women got a real place in the house of God and in the service of God. Thank God for good God. I'm about to run my head through a wall and go crazy. I tell you, God's got a purpose for you ladies today. Amen. Every lady in here that's been lifted from the mud, God has changed your name.
Amen.
From mud to glory.
Amen.
It's where He got you out of the clay. It's all we are is clay.
Amen.
Somebody said my name was mud. Yeah, but I read where Jesus said I'm going to give my new name. Hallelujah to God.
Amen.
That no man knows.
Amen.
Woo! Amen. I'm trying to. Won't you help me? Praise God. Then what are you going to do about Jacob? God met old Jacob at Bethel. The house of God, by the way. What Bethel means, the house of God. God, Jacob met God in the house of God. A good place to meet Him, ain't it? Somebody in here today might want to get acquainted with Him. He's here. Whoa, He's here today. I'm having myself a time. Woo! Glory to God, I'm telling you, He's here today. You can meet Him right here in the house of God. And old Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night. And he said, the angel of the Lord said to him, what's your name, boy? What is thy name? You know, when his father Isaac asked him that, he said, I'm Esau.
Yes,
lying devil.
Yes,
he was a set planner.
Amen.
A deceiver. He was a crook.
Amen.
Know anybody like that?
Amen.
Know anybody that could skin the eyes off a dead man, them never know they're off of a living man, they never know they're gone, steal the eyes, nickels off a dead man's eyes, in the casket, and some folks will never know he done it. This guy was a smooth talker.
Amen.
Beat his father-in-law out of a whole lot as well.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, when God asked him, said, boy, what is your name? He didn't fuss about it. He said, Lord, I'm guilty.
Amen.
He said, Jacob.
Yep.
Jacob.
Amen.
But look at grace.
Yes.
Grace responded and said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. You're not a subplanner anymore, boy.
Amen.
You're not a deceiver. You're not a liar. I'm getting ready to change your character.
Yes.
I'm getting ready to change your course of life. I'm getting ready to change the direction you're in.
Yes.
You're no longer a subplanner, but you're going to be called Israel,
yes,
a prince, because you've got power with God and power with men and hath prevailed. Hallelujah. I wonder if we got anybody in here that's got power with God this morning. Anybody got power with men this morning? Anybody prevailed this morning? Have we got any victorious mantis this morning who's been changed by the grace of God? They're no longer a deceiver and a drunk, but they're a child of God. Hallelujah. I say amen. And then old Simon, get this now. Chapter 1, verse 42, John. Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. I said, that's who you are. But here's who you're going to be. You're going to be Cephas. A stone. A rock. Now I want you to get a hold of this. I'm not much on Greek. But I had to go into the Greek and the Hebrew both to get the clear meaning of Simon. You're no longer Simon. But a rock. Now get a hold of this. You know what the word Simon means. Praise God. Is anybody in here listening to me this morning? If I were, say amen. Because I'm getting ready to tell you what that word Simon literally means, ladies and gentlemen. It means hearing. God said you've heard something. And because you've heard something, I'm going to make a rock out of you, hallelujah to God. I'm going to make somebody firm, somebody strong, somebody that's got some stability about them that can stand the test, stand the fire, stand the trials, and go on serving God. Some Baptists, if you threw them in the fire, they'd wilt like a wet straw, like a little straw.
All right, amen.
They'd run under the heat.
Amen.
God said, you may have some flaws, Peter. You may have some problems, Peter.
Amen.
But underlying all those problems, you're a rock.
Yes.
Yes, sir. And you may wobble and twist on the axle. But praise God, when you are a rock, you're going to come out on the other side. Amen.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you something. I'd rather have somebody that wobbled every now and then and got right about it and kept on going as I would some little spring-tailed wimp that got bent out of joint and couldn't get right.
Amen.
Got in the fire and couldn't take the heat.
Amen.
My mom used to tell me, if you can't take the heat, boy, get out of the kitchen. Summertime, she got right hot in that little 8x8 kitchen we had. Yeah, man, Mom and I were cooking on that old stove. Got a little warm. She'd say, boy, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Man.
I learned real quick in this thing of serving God, if you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen.
Amen.
But I'm telling you, take seat. I want you to get a hold of this. It takes a long time, ladies and gentlemen, for heat to break a rock. Praise God, it may char the walls and the sides. It may turn just a little black and char. But I'm telling you, when the fire passes by, the rock will still be there. Amen. They burnt the gates and the walls of Jerusalem with fire. But when Nehemiah went back and moved the rubbish, the stones of the foundation were still there. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you, God made a lot of fire in here. If He lights a fire in here, when we finally clear the rubbish, will Peter be found?
Amen.
Will the rock be found?
Amen.
Come on, men, say amen.
Amen.
When the fire quits burning, will the rock be found? Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm having myself a time.
Amen.
Ain't even got to an outline yet. It's time to go home.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now look here. I'm not going to fuss about when Peter was converted. But three things about him very quickly. Number one is conversion.
Amen.
He may have been converted in verse 42. He was a follower, disciple of John the Baptist.
Right.
But he wasn't with him that day.
Right.
Andrew was. And old Andrew heard about the Lamb of God. He run and got his brother.
Amen.
Introduced him to Jesus. And Jesus said, you're going to be called a rock.
Amen.
You're going to be called a stone, Peter. His conversion. Simon and then Peter. Get a hold of this. It's a striking revelation of human character and divine transformation. Woo! I missed a hanky. You get a hold of that after a while.
God said, "You're Simon. You're just a hunk of worthless clay, Simon. You have got a human character with human weaknesses. But oh, he said, thou shalt be called Cephas." Praise God, there's going to be a divine transformation take place. Glory to God, when the Holy Ghost gets to working in a man's heart or a woman's soul, there is a divine transformation take place. And they go from human character to taking on the divine nature of Almighty God. And the work begins in them. May I say this, Brother George? From Gary, thou shalt be called no more Gary, but Dr. Hall. Thank you, Lord. Grace! Thou shalt be called no more Gwendolyn, Sister Benedict. Amen! Thou shalt be called no more Bill with a beard on his face. Thou shalt be called Brother Billy. Hallelujah. Sister Megan! Sister Shad, Brother Robert! I tell you, a divine transformation took place in Peter's life. Oh, you're still in a body of clay. There's still a body of clay, but there's a divine work on the inside that is someday going to bring fruition on the outside. You're a perfect man on the inside waiting for a perfect work on the outside. And as sure as I'm living, you're a rock. It's going to take place.
Amen.
What about that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Listen now. The new name, and I don't have time to preach all this. The new name implied a claim of authority. Jesus didn't say, "I hope I can call you Cephas." Thou shalt be called Cephas. You're mine now. And along with that claim and the authority, that name change, oh, I love this. That name change, Brother Andy. Let me ask you this.
Okay.
What was your maiden name?
Chaffin?
Am I saying that right? Chaffin?
Yeah.
You take this man to be your lawful wedded husband, I do. Thou shalt be called no more Chaffin, but Robinson shall be thy name.
Right.
Why? Because you're married.
Amen.
Old names pass away. New names are remembered. Name is made new. Hallelujah to God. I'm talking about a divine, ladies and gentlemen. Conversion experience. When God changed his name, it was like a woman changing her name in marriage. And that man took on the responsibilities, amen, that God laid upon him. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. It meant a new position and new responsibilities. If you're a rock, Peter, you've got some responsibilities a lot of folks don't have. Got any rocks in here today? Huh? You got a new position. You're a son of God. You're an heir of Christ. Joint heirs with Christ. An heir of God, joint heirs with Christ. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. You got a new position. You're a son of God. I'll give you the power to become a son of God. And you've got a new position in life. You're no more a gutter bum. I don't want to get ahead of myself, and I won't get there today. But you're a fisherman, Peter. But I'm telling you, I'm changing your life from now on. You're going to fish for men. I'm talking about a divine transformation. He is called the Rock, a clear reminder of his need, and assured supply of that need. That's right. Thou shalt be called. Peter said, "How can I be a rock?" I'm wishy-washy. I'm probably double-minded. I'm weak. But I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it was Peter that laid down between four quaternions of soldiers in Acts chapter 12 and went sound asleep like a baby with the understanding come morning I'm going to cut his head off.
He might have said, Jesus said, I was a rock. I bet the sword just glances off like glancing off of flint. Cut your head off, Peter. Peter wasn't a bit worried. Because in John 21, Jesus had already told him how he was going to die and how he was going to live, and he could lay down pillars. Peter said, praise God, I'm a rock. Amen. Now I want to show you something right there. What we think about there is Peter laying in that prison, sleeping. But what a testimony when he come out. I told you he's a rock. Somebody else can lean on that rock and find strength in that rock. When he got out of that prison, somebody might have said, Peter, what were you doing in there, drinking tea? And he said, no, they had me shackled, getting ready to cut my head off. But he said, I got a midnight visitor. Woo! Hey, man, you ever had a midnight visitor? Praise God, the shackles fell off, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Glory to God. I'm telling you, the ball and chain fell off, and that ain't open. They got to a gate that just said, open, sesame. When Peter got to that crowd, he said, you ain't going to believe this. They're going to cut my head off. And I just laid down and went to sleep. Well, praise God. Peter, I've been a little worried, but thank God. If God done that for you, He'll do it for me,
amen.
Brother Peter.
Yes, amen.
Lean on me. I'm a rock. Lean on me. I'm a rock.
Amen.
I don't want to get ahead of my preaching that I'm lining up to preach to you. But I don't know what's wrong with my brain. But I do know whatever's wrong with it. By the grace of God, I'm going to show this church that God's grace is sufficient.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Now, he needed firmness, strength, and stability. God supplied it all. Not only his conversion, but what about his consecration?
Amen.
May I say that sanctifying Peter was a painful process in Peter's life.
Amen.
I mean, Peter was so proud, boastful, impulsive. He run his mouth before he put his brain into gear.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it was a painful, painful process. Amen. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, can you hear it? Are you under the sound of my voice? Listen carefully. There's no other way but to trust and obey.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, if you are a child of God, if you do not yield yourself to God, but if you're stiff-necked, and rebellious and you're saved, I'm telling you, God will finish the design that He planned in your life. It's up to you how much pain you want to go through to get there.
Amen.
But you're going there. You're going there if you're His.
Amen.
Peter's was a painful experience.
Yep.
It was first of all his sifting. Get a hold of this. And I want, y'all got a wall around here with thin enough I can get my head in it. I'd never seen this and I've preached on this verse. Luke 22:31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. You notice the Lord didn't make a hitch there. He didn't say, now if you make it, Peter, I want you to strengthen others. He said, Satan wants you. Satan's going to sift you. Just like wheat, but when thou art converted. In other words, you're going to make it, Brother Peter. And when others realize you've made it through the sieve, praise God, strengthen those that are weak. Be a rock. But I want to show you something, what God just showed me. What God just showed me yesterday morning. Get the name He called him. Simon, Simon.
Right.
Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. Brother Steve, here's what I got on that. He called him Simon, Simon. Now, if I can run this by you and you can catch it real fast. He said, Simon. He said, Satan may get Simon, but he ain't never going to get the rock. Oh, yes, Simon, Simon. Simon, Simon, get a hold of that. Satan hath desired to have you, in other words. Oh, he's going to sift as the old man. Oh, he's going to purify. He's so dumb, he's just going to do a work on purifying you. And oh, I'm about to have a fit. Peter, Simon, he can have you. But hello, Peter, how you doing? Let the good times roll. Let Satan growl. Let him roar. He might get Gary, but he'll never get that new name. What about that? Might get Mark, but he can't get that new name.
Amen.
He might get Wayne, but he can't get that new name. He might get Simon, but he ain't going to get the rock. God put him, let Satan put him in that cell for the purpose of helping somebody else. Now, I got to hurry. My time's about gone. I need to hurry. There's the sifting. But I see the seeking of His consecration. See, sifting. Trials will consecrate you. Trials will make you holy. But I also see the seeking, Matthew 16:16. Jesus asked His disciples, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon spoke immediately. Simon Peter spoke. Both of them. And answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. In verse 17, Jesus said, Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto you, Simon, but my Father which is in heaven. Now, I'm telling you, look here. He was consecrated by the sifting, by the trials, but He was also consecrated by the seeking. I want everybody to look up here at me. Do you want something from God? Then look for it. Look for it. Peter said, that man said my name was a rock. And praise God, I'm going to seek the face of God.
Amen.
And find out how to become that rock.
Amen.
And it wasn't man that revealed that to him. And I don't want to, I do not want to say anything blasphemous or contrary to Scripture or anything contrary to Christ. But here's my interpretation. When He said flesh and blood, He said my humanity on this earth hadn't revealed that to you, Peter. I didn't tell you that.
Right.
But a higher power.
Yeah.
But my Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, Peter.
Yeah.
I did not tell you that, but my Father which is in heaven.
Yeah.
You see, that tells me that Peter had to realize that Jesus and the Father were one.
Yeah.
But the Father was still on the throne. Oh, God, it may not help you, but I can.
Yeah.
Man, I'm about to go nuts. Bless His wonderful holy name. Amen. And then His surety in His consecration. It was going to happen. Somebody said, how do you know that? Matthew 16:18. Thou art Peter. Thou art Peter. Of a surety. Get a hold of this. In Luke 22:34. When He had just... Jesus had just told him he was going to sift. Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. In verse number 34, Jesus said, I tell thee, Peter, get a hold of this.
Amen.
Before the cock crows three times tonight, thou shalt deny me thrice.
Amen.
Peter.
Amen.
There's Peter denied. Oh, I thought he was a rock.
Amen.
I'm telling you. Now, don't nobody leave me. Don't nobody leave me. Don't nobody leave me. Concerning the resurrection. When Jesus met those ladies on resurrection morning, He said, hey, go your way and tell His disciples and Peter, go tell the rock that I'm up.
Amen.
Tell the disciples, but make sure you tell the rock.
Amen.
That I'm up. Personal. Now I could say this. We talk about John being so close to Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. There was an affinity between Peter and Jesus that I think is closer than John and Jesus.
Amen.
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 Look through who he talked about more in the Scripture.
All right.
And I want you to get a hold of this. When Peter got braggadocious, I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about him being a rock and having flaws and things that we see. When Jesus told of his death upon the cross, what did Peter run up in his face and say? He said, "Be it far from thee!" Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan! Thou savorest not the things of God." But I want you to get a hold of this. If you look at the bottom of that, when Peter said, "Be it far from thee," he really wasn't meaning, "I don't want you to die for our sins." He's saying, "Be it far from thee. I love you too much to lose you.
Amen.
I want to be with you. You said I was a rock just like you're a rock. I want to be just like you and be with you where you are."
Amen.
You see, we look at that and we say, "Oh, Peter, that's God, denied Jesus. Bring it over, God. Sorry, devil, I'm glad I'm not like him." Better be careful.
Amen.
That outward impulsive spirit of his is just an overlay of a real man of character underneath.
Amen.
You'll get a hold of that after a while. Do you good to study characters in the Bible.
Amen.
You won't find too many that didn't have a flaw somewhere. Somebody said, "Well, Joseph didn't have a flaw." Joseph was braggadocious. He told his own brothers and mom and daddy, "You bow down to me." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he didn't tell it humbly. He was bragging.
Amen.
Come on in the house.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm trying to get done. And then his character. Peter's character is not an easy one. Really, to estimate and to talk about. Because what we normally see and talk about are only weak sides of a strong man.
Amen.
He's the rock.
Amen.
So when we look at other people and begin to pick holes in their character, you better be careful.
Amen.
I've been so guilty of that, God help my weary soul.
Yeah.
God help my sin. I've been so guilty at looking at little outward things and judging what people are. You know what we're doing? We're making ourselves judges of their heart.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Oh, by the fruit you know them." I know that, but you better distinguish between fruit and flaws in character.
Amen.
I will remind you that this man named Peter that boasted of himself, bragged of himself, cut off the high priest's ear, run his mouth when he already kept his mouth shut. When it come the day of Pentecost, Jesus said, "There, Peter, go and preach."
Amen.
You're the rock, boy. Let her happen, son.
Yep.
He didn't call John the beloved. And he didn't call James. He called that rock.
Amen.
Son, that man that had some grit.
Yep.
You men got any grit? You crawl through the mud and the slime and got some grit.
Amen.
Yep.
Kentucky boys ain't wimps.
Amen.
Hoosiers ain't either, Brother Andy. Now, I am one of them Hoosiers. I guess I can say that.
Amen.
Laid down the bed last night, Brother George. Now, I can talk to my wife a little different than I can y'all. I said, "Well, I wonder when I'm going to die." She said, "I wish you would shut up. You're going to worry yourself to death." I said, "Well, I've got to go one way or the other." Hallelujah. Amen, Brandon. Amen.
Amen.
Good to be saved, no, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
Got that surety. Woo! Hallelujah. Now look here, Peter's character. Look here. Peter was very impulsive. That is, he put his mouth in gear before he put his mind or brain in motion. When they were on the Mount of Transfiguration, Peter answered and said unto the Lord, "Lord, if it's good for us to be, it's good for us to be here. Now, it's real good for us to be up here. I'm glad you brought us along. Praise God," said, "if thou wilt, won't you let us build three tabernacles? One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah." Who Jesus didn't want no tabernacles built. I'm sure he thought in his mind, "You are the tabernacle, Buckwheat."
Amen.
But he run his mouth. God
didn't want to build Moses and Elijah tabernacle. He came to build the church. Now get a hold of this. He constantly made mistakes by speaking before he thought. He was impulsive. Now I want you to get a hold of this. Peter would immediately speak without thinking. Somebody said, that's bad. Yeah, I agree. Angie don't speak at all. So my wife is like her. Tammy Lynn's the same way. Me and Lisa are mouths. I don't know how y'all ever have a conversation. Don't neither one of you ever talk. Y'all got a tongue, mouth. Y'all ain't got a tongue. Can you talk? Say amen.
Amen.
He can talk. Now, what was I at? Now, I'm going to tell you, she's got some kids. It's a chip off the old block, buddy. But he was impulsive. But I want you to get a hold of this. Sometimes impulsiveness is a sign of energy and enterprise. James and John sat there on that Mount of Transfiguration like we are this morning. Old Peter saw all that glory, and when the glory fell, he jumped up and said, "Hallelujah! It's good to be here! Praise God! I'm ready to build! Let's go into a building project and build three tabernacles." Now, he might have been wrong, but he had the energy and the impulse to do it. He was ready to go.
Amen.
I wish sometime when I'd say we got an opportunity to put three translators on the air, about 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of you men, jump up and say, "Hallelujah, let's start tomorrow."
Amen.
Amen.
Well, now, we better think this thing through, preacher. How long do you think it ought to? Well, it ought to take at least 12 to 15 years to get the mind of God. So we might be in glory in that length of time. Hallelujah. Let's build them translators.
Amen.
Let's get them up.
Amen.
Let's preach the gospel. Somebody said, "Where's the money coming from?" So y'all ain't worried about it too much anyway.
Amen.
Well, why start worrying about it now?
Amen.
I would to God we could. I'm going to tell you something. In January Marathon, we're going to have a right here.
Amen.
We're going to have singers out here, and these kids is going to come in here, and if they come out in here or in there where them telephones at, they are going to sit down.
Amen.
We're going to do things different. We're going to have singers out here, and it's going to be live streaming, and don't get too uptight. Now, we're even talking about streaming it with video. I want to see me! Let's build them. Somebody said, "Where's the money coming from?" I'm telling you, he hadn't failed us yet. Somebody said, "Don't get too impulsive."
Amen.
I don't think 18 years is impulsive.
Amen.
I want to do something before I die.
Amen.
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 But there's Peter. Notice him. He's impulsive. He's hot-tempered. Let me cut off an ear, Lord. Praise God, amen. But I'll have to say one thing. He wasn't wimpy. He's ready to do business. But he just had a little hot temper. But God says, Jesus says, "You're tempered, but you're a rock. I'm going to get that temper out of you, buddy." I'm going to tell you something. If somebody's impulsive and full of energy and enthusiasm, but they lack wisdom, give them time. Wisdom and knowledge will come along.
Amen.
I'm giving you some good preaching today. I don't
Amen.
Know if you realize it or not.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I'm like Peter, brag a little bit. Yeah. He was boastful.
Amen.
Amen.
Though all of them are offended, I'll never be offended.
Pretty boastful, ain't you, Peter?
Amen.
Let me let you on a little secret, son. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times.
Amen.
But you're a rock, and I've prayed for you that your faith fail not.
Amen.
He was also very self-confident. I'm better on the job than anybody else. Bless God, I can run a computer. I know all about it, and I can do it better than anybody in the world. I can sing better than anybody. I'm the lead vocalist. Well, be careful, because at least that person has got an attitude of wanting to do something.
Amen.
Be careful. At least they want to. Peter wanted to. Boastful, arrogant, yes. But underneath, he wanted to do something for God.
Yeah,
got any Peters in here today that want to do something for the Lord? Any rocks?
Amen.
I preach my heart to you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
A man that Jesus called a rock.
Amen.
Simon. Peter. Then 2 Peter chapter 1, the introduction, the first one, Peter got so humbled about what God had done for him. Get this. He said, Simon Peter. He said, I was a Simon, but now I'm a rock. He had reached that place in life and fulfilled the plan and purpose of God, and was ready to be offered as Paul was. I prayed this morning, Brother George, and I said, Lord, I don't know what the problem is with my brain. I really don't. And I don't try to hide nothing from you. They have prescribed a medicine for me that's like Valium. It makes you restful. I don't know why. I haven't taken any of it yet. And I don't know what the future may hold for me. But I prayed this morning and I said, Lord, I don't know what is in store. I don't know what you're doing. But I know you're doing all things well in my life. And I said, please let me glorify Jesus regardless of what happens in my life. And please don't let me die uncontrollable in my thinking and my mind. I don't want to go out that way. I want to go with clarity. I wouldn't want to be like some people and have problems and start cussing and blaspheming Jesus. I don't want to do that, Brother Andy. Somebody said the other day about a man that had been saved for years and God had problems and he was dying and he started cursing, using vulgar words and everything else before. I don't want that to happen to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But I want to be at this point what Jesus wanted me to be at this point. Like the preacher said the other night, down the communion table.
Right.
When I fall off on that end, I want to be what Jesus wanted to be when He picked me up and set me on that end.
Yes, sir.
I hope you do.
Amen.
A man that Jesus called a rock. Let's stand together.